Right, Dan, I'm from a Baptist background. So some years ago, I met with my pastor. She lay down sea near the coast. It was in the wintertime. I think it was like January. And it was not doing anything outside when we went. But when we came back, the closer we got to Pitt County, now I did it in Wilson County, and I still do. It was snowing. And it got to be more snow, and more snow, and more snow, and more snow. And so he had rode the pastor. So when we got his house, I got in my car to go home. I could not see the road with the snow. I couldn't tell where the road ended and the ditch, and the side of the ditch started. So I was driving. And then I started singing this song. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. I stumbled all the way home. On Christ the solid rock I stand. The road was a solid rock. All of the ground on the other side of the road was sinking sand. And then, you know, I got home and safely. I never once slid off the road. Never once got off the road and could not see the road. Couldn't tell where the road started or ended. But I sung the song all the way home. Believing God would keep me on the road.
Yes.
And God kept me on the road.
Yes.
And I got safely home. So when I hear that song, I think about that time. When I needed God to keep me on the right path. And he did. Amen. So I want to welcome all of you here again. Thank God for our Zoom people. Thank God for our new people that have come today. Thank you, thank you. It's good to have you here today, and you're welcome anytime. We're so glad to have you. It may take me a while to remember all the names, so you know. Even if I remember your name. Tell me your husband's name again.
His name is Fexon. F-E-X-O-N, Fexon.
Faison.
Yeah, Faison. Oh,
this one.
F-E-X-O-N. Faison? Faison?
X-O-N.
Excellent. Exxon.
F-E-X-O-N.
That's Exxon.
Faison. Faison.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We might have to give
him
a nickname. Faison. Yeah. But we're so glad you're here. We thank God for you. Okay. And I'm glad that we can, as a church family, we're not all stiff and we can laugh and have fun with each other. So I like that. I like that. The word I got for today, I must admit, is not a word as a pastor or as any minister of the gospel. Sometimes there are words God's giving you, you're all excited about preaching. I mean, you really excited about it. Then sometimes God gives you a word, and you say, Lord, really? Have I really got to preach this? Yeah. Are you absolutely sure? You know, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's like that. But then being a pastor of the church, you have to give the people what you know God wants you to give them because you know it's what we need. It's what we need. It's all what we need. So today is going to be a practical message. One that's biblical, but practical, and one that we all face and we all have to deal with. So I want to start off asking questions. And you can just answer to yourself. Are you afraid that if you lay hands on the sick, command it to go and heal it to come, nothing will happen? Anybody ever been afraid of that?
Yeah.
That if you lay hands on the sick, and command healing that nothing would happen. Well, join the club. We all been there. We all been there. Have you prayed for someone's healing and nothing happened?
Yes.
Done that too. Everyone that has ever ministered to a sick besides Jesus had that happen. If that has not happened to you, then you have never ministered to anyone the sick. You probably have never prayed to anyone if that has not ever happened to you. No one has a 100% rate of healing. So what if? The message today is, if healing does not manifest, so what if all those things happen? What if you do speak healing over your own body and to somebody else and nothing happens? Nothing manifests. On the other end, what if you pray for them and they get worse? People have actually prayed, and I have to pray for people, believe for them to be healed, and they die. What if they get worse and what if they die? Some people have experienced that. Praying for somebody to get healed, you know, believing that you're believing God and believing the word of God, but yet the person dies. I don't know if all of you are familiar with Bill Johnson or not, Bethel Church. But Bill Johnson Church has a history of people with cancer being healed. Many people have been healed of cancer at that church. But then his father got cancer. And they prayed, they believed God, and his father passed away. So what do you do in a case like that? What do you do in a case like that? I want to share another story, and Dan is going to be aware of this story because I was listening to it yesterday, and I heard his voice up there on this CD. But when we were going to Caris Bible College on our second year, a young lady came and shared her story. She was a person that taught on heart healing. Her name was Jacqueline Band.
Man.
Jacqueline Band. Jacqueline came and shared her story my second year in Caris. Jacqueline had a female problem because there was a cyst on her ovaries. And Jacqueline had Andrew pray for her, and she didn't get healed. Nothing happened. Andrew has prayed for many people, and they got healed. But he prayed for people that didn't get healed. Jacqueline was one of them. She could tell them her story. And so one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to Jacqueline and told her, said, go and ask your friend Caroline to pray for you. And Jacqueline said, well, if Andrew prayed for me, I didn't get healed. What's Caroline going to do? You know? And we have an attitude sometimes.
Yeah.
But she knew it was the Holy Spirit, so she went and had Caroline pray for her. Well, Caroline also operated the gift of healing, and Caroline had a healing ministry. So when she went and asked Caroline to pray for her, Caroline had a word of knowledge. And Caroline began to tell Jacqueline everything the doctor had told her was wrong with her. So Jacqueline said, oh my goodness, this was a word of knowledge in operation. So Jacqueline said, when she told me everything the doctor told me, then she kind of caught faith. And Caroline prayed for her. And evidently the cyst disappeared. And within an hour, her female organs were working properly. But then the next day, she got this excruciating pain. So she didn't like the Holy Spirit tell her about Caroline. This time she went back to Caroline. And Caroline began to pray for her. And Caroline had another word of knowledge. And Caroline told Jacqueline, Jacqueline, God wants you to reproduce. In other words, God wants you to have children. Jacqueline got mad at Caroline, she got mad at God. Because where Caroline grew up, I think it was in Korea, where she grew up, it was told to her that to be a woman in ministry, but God had used you, you couldn't get married, and you couldn't have children. You had a little selfish life. And that's what she thought. And she thought that was from God. But she was believing a lie. And the Holy Spirit had to work on her, let her see this lie in her heart. And once the lie got dealt with and she found out the truth, that was not God. A lot of times we're believing stuff and we think it's God, and it's not God. So that was not God. So Caroline believed the truth The pain left and she was healed. And then she started this ministry where she ministered to people of heart healing. And that's why she was with us at Caris. Let's look at Jacqueline again. Jacqueline blamed herself after Andrew prayed. She said she believed she was cursed. That's why she wouldn't heal. Then she was angry at Caroline and God after the word of knowledge. But what she really was angry with was her image of God. And that lie kept her from receiving. So that's kind of like my introduction. What if healing does not manifest? What if you pray for somebody, you believe in God, and healing doesn't manifest? You believe it to the best of your knowledge. What if you pray for healing for your own body and it doesn't manifest? There are some things you don't do. The first thing you don't do is don't do like Jacqueline did. Don't play the blame game. Don't play the blame game. Don't start blaming someone. Don't play the blame game. And for sure, don't blame God. Don't blame God. God is never the problem. Remember that. God is never, ever the problem. I don't care what kind of problem you're having. I don't care what manifest, didn't manifest. I don't care who died or who didn't die. Mm-hmm. You know, God is never the problem.
Amen.
Because it's always God's will to heal.
Yes.
Always. Whether we receive it or not, it's always his will. And I believe when we ask God in faith, healing always comes. Whether it manifests or not, he comes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. God has provided healing for us just like he has provided salvation. Does everybody, has everyone you ever witnessed to got saved?
Yeah.
Good day. What about anybody else? Anybody, everybody you witnessed to got saved?
Not everybody.
That's what I'm talking about, everybody. I'm talking about everybody.
Thought you said anybody.
No, everybody. But everybody. Has everybody you ever witnessed to got saved? But that is not true witness, it did.
Amen.
You believed the gospel, you kept on witnessing. Okay. So there's reasons why healing has to manifest. So we don't always know the reasons unless Holy Spirit reveal it to us. Sometimes we prick our brains trying to know something that we're not even ready to handle. God ain't ready to tell us. We don't need to know right then. You know. So we don't need to do that. So don't do that. Don't play the blame game.
Yes.
Don't blame the person who needs healing. Do not blame the person who needs healing. Why? Because it's our job to minister healing and believe that it comes and that it will manifest. That's our job. So don't blame the person who needs healing. We are what? Do all we know to do, and all we're led by Holy Spirit to do. All we know to do, and all we're led by the Holy Spirit to do. What do we know to do? We know that we're supposed to minister to the sick. We know that. And be led by the Holy Spirit. Remember, too, there might be a lack of knowledge, and the person might need to be taught the word of God. They might not know the healing is for them. They might not know that it's God's will to heal everybody. They might not know these things. There could be a lack of knowledge, and they might need to be taught the word of God. And on the other hand, we might need to minister the love of God to them and his word on healing before praying to them. Sometimes people need to be ministered to before you pray for them. They don't know God loves them. So they don't know that God is a good God and he wants all good things for them. So let them know the love of God and give them a word on healing before praying, if need be. Barry Bent did this one time. He's a teacher at Caris. A lady came up to him for healing. And he perceived that if he prayed for her then, she might not have the faith to believe. So what Barry Bent did was he gave her a book on healing. I don't know. He did say what book it was. don't know where it's a book called. I think it was a Charles Capps book on healing. He gave her a book on healing first and told her to go home, read the book, and then come back. She took the book home, she read the book, and came back. She came back smiling after reading the book. And Barry Bennett could see that she read the book, and now she's in faith and ready to receive.
Yeah.
So then he prayed for her, and she got healed. She got healed. She got completely healed. We might need a word of knowledge before praying for them. A word of knowledge helps people enter into faith. That's all a word of knowledge do. A word of knowledge helps people enter into faith. What's a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge is something that God knows about the person that you don't know. And when you give that word of knowledge, that convinces them that you are, that God is in the midst, and that causes them to have more faith. Suppose if I would, one time I was in a service, and something on me was hurting. I'm trying to think. I don't know whether it was my knee that was hurting, a part of my body was hurting. And I thought it was me that was hurting. But I was getting the word of knowledge about somebody else that was hurting.
Yeah.
And when I spoke that, that person, it was them, and they got healed, and it helped me too, because I didn't know, it helped me learn too. So sometimes it's not you that's hurting. God will, some part of your body will hurt, and that's a word of knowledge, your arm, your knee, or whatever, maybe your eye or something like that. And that's a word of knowledge that God has given you, that somebody in your midst needs healing in that area.
Sometimes your heart hurts.
Yeah, sometimes your heart will hurt. Something about you will hurt that's in relation to the person that needs healing. You can call that out, and that'll give that person faith to receive healing. A lot of people get healed that way, especially healing services. The word of knowledge is very good for getting people entering into faith for their healing. Another thing is, don't assume that the person you're ministering to know what they need. And don't assume you know what they need. A lot of times people come up, you minister to them, they don't know what they need. They think they know what they need. And don't assume that they do. Don't assume that you know what they need. I've heard people say that sometimes people come up in a wheelchair, and you assume a person in a wheelchair, they want to walk, they want to get out of the wheelchair. But they get up there, they don't ask for getting out of the wheelchair. They might ask for something else. I've been having headaches, and I want these headaches too. You know. So don't assume you know what they want or what they need before you ask them. And don't assume they know. Even sometimes they don't even know. And don't assume that you know what they need. Sometimes people come up, they need salvation, but they ask for prayer for something else. You know, so don't assume that. What do you do when you don't assume? Take time to pray and wait on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Take time to pray and wait on Holy Spirit. Let him lead you, let him guide you. The next thing is, you may need to minister more than one time. You may need to minister more than one time. Let's go to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, 8th chapter. 23rd verse. We're going to start at 23rd verse. And we're going to see what Jesus did. We're going to see that Jesus had to minister to the blind man more than one time. Mark 8:23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" Sometimes, too, because of all the negativity around, you might have to get a person away from the negative unbelief to a place where you can minister to them and they don't have all that negative stuff going on around.
Yes.
That's what Jesus did. So he spit on the eyes and laid his hands on him and asked him, "Do you see anything?" Another point. Now Jesus spit on the blind man's eyes and laid his hand on him. What if when you minister something to somebody, God tell you something all off the wall to do? Something that would embarrass you to do. And you wonder what would happen if I do it. Can you imagine Jesus spitting on somebody's eyes?
Yeah.
Well, okay, Billy, can you imagine anybody spit on anybody's eyes today?
Yeah, right.
Could be. So, but if Jesus said do it, if Holy Spirit said do it, then you know you can trust Holy Spirit and know everything's going to work out all right. Now, if we just trust in ourselves, it's not going to work all right. But if you trust Holy Spirit, it'll work out all right. Our job is learning to trust Holy Spirit when you minister to the sick. Okay, now, God's not going to ask you to do something he knows you're not ready to do. So don't worry about that. He's going to ask you to do something he knows that he's already given you faith to do. That you're already at a level in your walk with the Lord. You're already in a place of maturity where God said, I can trust him to do this. He's not going to ask you to do something that he knows is way out of your comfort zone that you can't reach or get to. He's going to ask you step by step. One portion of the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, God, he kind of takes us that way, little by little, to we get our confidence where we can follow him and do what he asks us to do. So, but if he asks you to do something off the wall, remember Mark 8:23. Jesus spit on the eyes of the blind man, then laid his hands on him. Remember that. And he looked and said, and he asked the blind man, did you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Evidently, his whole sight had not manifested yet. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, second time. And he opened his eyes, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. So sometimes you have to minister more than one time. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. They had the prayer, people that went to different sick people's houses and prayed for them. And sometimes they would stay all night, but he told them, don't come back. Can you imagine that? Don't come back, y'all. Don't come back to the person get healed. So they would stay all night praying. They couldn't come back to the people got healed. So they had to stay there and pray more than one time till the person got healed. When I retired from teaching, I was sub. And I went to sub at this elementary school. And they told me to go in this kindergarten room and help this kindergarten teacher out. And she had one little boy in there was really bad. So all the teacher wanted me to do was sit with him. Because to keep him from causing trouble with the rest of the students. So his leg was hurting. I don't know whether he had sickle cell anemia or something, but something caused his leg to hurt. And it hurt quite regularly. And he was over there, his leg was hurting, he was crying. His leg was hurting. They called his parents to come get him, but they hadn't gotten there yet. He was crying and crying and crying. And so I asked him, I said, you need to pray for that leg. And I said, put your leg in, let me pray for it. So I prayed for his leg, commanded the pain to go, and commanded to be healed. And I asked him, I said, how does it feel? It still hurts. So I prayed for it again. And I said, how did it feel? Did it feel better? So I prayed for it again. I think I prayed for that leg about three times. But you know what happened to that little boy? He went outside and went around playing on that leg. It was now healed. So sometimes we have to pray more than one time for someone's healing. If healing manifestation has started or not, whether it started or not, just like I just told you about the little boy. If healing manifestation has started or not, encourage them to keep believing and expect complete healing. What if I prayed three times and he still wasn't healed? You know, I would encourage him and I would keep believing. You know, so encourage them to keep believing and expect complete healing, even if it don't come after you pray several times. Often healing has started and the manifestation is in progress. Oftentimes healing has started and the manifestation is in progress. But what has happened, because it didn't come completely, sometimes you got 10% better. Sometimes people got 20% better. Sometimes they got 30% better or 50% better. But because what was this like 20% better? Well, if it's just 20% better and they don't get any better right there in your presence when you're praying for them, when they leave, if you don't encourage them to keep believing, they might abort their healing because it was not instantaneous. So people start doubting. So encourage them not to doubt, but keep believing. Sometimes people healing has come like overnight. The next morning they got a complete healing. Sometimes people got their healing after a week's time, and then healing manifested. So it's important that they don't abort their faith. Don't abort what you believe. Hold on to what God is doing. If God is doing anything at all, encourage them to hold on to it.
Yes.
Don't let it go. Because God has started doing something, and you want him to complete what he's doing. So encourage them. Even yourself, you believe in God for your healing, and you pray for your body. You believe in God, and you feel something a little bit better in your body. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing, but keep believing God. You know, keep saying and speaking to your body and knowing that it's healed until you get your full manifestation. I'm trying to think of the gentleman that had the cancer on his breast. Mike Hitch. Yeah, had a cancer on his breast. And he didn't know. He was doubting. He was back and forth, so he wasn't getting his healing. He believed it, didn't believe, believed, didn't believe. But there came a time when he read Andrew's book that you already got it. He read the Bible. And he drew a line in the sand. And he said, I believe in God for my healing. You know that line? He stepped over it. I'm healed. It took 7 months for his total manifestation to be revealed. Just like the cancer started coming, little by little, it got big and bigger and bigger. He had to wear a bra because the tumor was so big. The tumor started going down little by little by little by little. And his wife said, you know what? Said Mike, we don't have to use as much bandage as what we used before. It's shrinking. And Mike said, of course it is. You know, I'm healed. So it has no other recourse but to shrink. So encourage them not to give up on their healing. Even when they see just a little progress. And I want you to know, it's okay if you have to leave someone sick. If you pray for somebody, you don't see a manifestation. Then that's okay. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame God. Don't blame the person you minister to. But don't blame yourself either. And don't blame the person that ministers to you. It's the other way around. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:20. 2 Timothy 4:20. Man, these scriptures in the Bible that we don't even realize they're there. We just read right over them sometimes until someone brings our attention to them or God brings our attention to them. 2 Timothy 4:20 says this, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. This is Paul talking. Paul said, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus, I have left in Miletus sick. So Paul left Trophimus in Miletus sick. I am sure Paul ministered healing to his friend. I'm sure probably the whole church, everybody with Paul prayed for Trophimus. But Trophimus was not healed. Or Trophimus, if you want to pronounce it. He wasn't healed. And Paul had to leave him there sick. Don't be discouraged if you have to leave someone you minister to sick. You don't know why nothing's happened. You don't know why there's no manifestation. So don't be discouraged if you have to leave them sick. Don't be discouraged. So now we get to the part where you don't blame yourself. You don't blame yourself. You don't take the credit for healing the person, so you don't take the blame if healing doesn't manifest. Look at it that way. If healing comes and the person gets healed, guess what? You don't get the credit because it was the power of God that did the healing. Jesus did the healing. Likewise, if the person don't get healing, don't manifest, don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself. And the other thing is, don't stop ministering healing to the people. Don't stop ministering. Just because you ministered to somebody and healing didn't manifest, don't stop ministering healing to the sick. Our baby's all right. They all right. They doing good. They doing good. So don't talk worry about our babies. We glad we got our babies. We gonna keep our babies. They gonna do just fine in the name of Jesus. Did we get a place we can have our children's church? So don't stop ministering healing to people just because healing didn't manifest when you prayed with somebody. And don't allow the experience that you just experienced to separate you from the love of God. Don't start saying, well, God don't love me. That's why they won't heal. I don't have enough power. That's why they didn't get healed. I don't have enough anointing. That's why they didn't get healed. Don't play that blame game. Don't do it. Don't allow this experience to separate you from the love of God. Determine that nothing Satan or people throw your way in life will convince you that God does not love you. Don't let nothing convince you that God does not love you, no matter what the experience is. Even when we fail, we are not separated from the love of God. How many of you ever failed? I know I have. Does God still love me? Yes, he does. Let's go to Romans 8:38. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember that verse. Meditate on that verse. Go to that verse. Don't allow your doctrine to be shaped by your experience. That's the mistake a lot of us make. Don't allow your doctrine. Your doctrine is what you believe. Don't allow what you believe to be shaped by your experience. Don't do that. Or don't allow what you believe to be shaped by anybody else's experience. A lot of children think this way. Well, and people will tell them that. And they'll go thinking, my daddy wasn't nothing, so I won't be nothing. You know, my mama was depressed, so I'm gonna be depressed. No. Don't let anybody else's experience, you know, tell you what you believe or who you are. Don't start grieving about what you don't know, but submit the mystery of it to God. A lot of times we grieve about what we don't know. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Don't grieve about what you don't know, but submit the mystery of it to God. And what I mean by that is, whatever you don't know, submit it to God. Give it to him. Because he's the one that gives life. He's the one that brings understanding. So if there's anything you don't know, anything you don't understand, anything in your life is going on you don't know, you don't understand. Thank you, baby. That's it. That's fine. That is so sweet. Yes, it is. Let me go back and do some more, okay? Bless your heart, sweetie. Bless your heart. So don't let anything grieve you, because God is the one that gives life. So give the mystery of that to him. And the other thing is worship. When disappointment, loss, or tragedy happens, you have two choices. Either worship God or become bitter. You only have two choices. You either worship God or you become bitter. We all are going to have tragedies. We all are going to have disappointments. We all are going to have things come in our life that we don't understand. But worship. Worship God. Even Jesus had to deal with unbelief. Even Jesus had to deal with people not wanting to receive from him. Let's look at Mark 6:1. Mark 6:1. And Mark 6:1 says, he went away from there and came to his hometown, and the disciples followed him. Jesus' hometown was Nazareth. So he went away there and came to his hometown, and the disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Jose, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They took offense. I mean, they were offended at what he was doing. They were offended because they thought that the carpenter's son was going about healing people and was anointed. And they wondered, okay, surely not him. He grew up in our neighborhood. Surely not him. We know his mama, we know his dad, we know his sisters, we know his brothers. Sometimes people might be that same way about you. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, or he was amazed because of their unbelief. He couldn't understand their unbelief. They had heard about what Jesus had done. They had seen the miracles, some of them, and heard about the miracles. But yet they choose to be offended, and they chose not to believe. So when someone chooses not to believe when you minister to them, they choose not to allow you to pray for them for some reason or another. They choose not to accept ministry from you. They choose not to accept the word of God from you. This is what Jesus did. Jesus' answer to the problem was this. The next verse says, he went about among the villages teaching. Now, people don't know the truth, but you teach the truth. And something else he did that I hadn't thought about before. I hadn't really looked at it before. The next verse says, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirit. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. They cast out many demons, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. So what did Jesus do? He went about teaching, and then said, okay, they won't listen to me. I'm going to get me somebody else to go with me. Sometimes you got to get somebody else to go with me. If they won't listen to you, they might listen to somebody else. He got the disciples and sent them out. And get ready to conclude. In other words, keep ministering to the sick. Don't stop praying for the sick because someone's healing didn't manifest or someone you prayed for died. You don't stop witnessing to the lost just because someone didn't accept Jesus. So don't stop ministering healing to the sick. Don't stop ministering to the people that are sick because you have sickness in your body. Don't think that someone who's healing has not completed the manifest cannot minister to you. Amen. People that are sick will minister to other people that are sick and pray for them, and they get healed, and then they get healed because they ministered to somebody else and they got healed.
Man.
So don't play the blame game because this could keep you from receiving. Let's look at Mark 16:17-18. Then we'll look at Matthew 10:7-8. Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Who's that talking to? Talking to you? Talking to me?
Yeah.
Matthew 10:7, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:7 and Matthew 10:8. Talking about you, talking about me. Think about the ones who will be healed if you continue to be obedient to Jesus and his word to heal the sick. Just because this one you minister this time didn't receive, the next one you pray for might be the one to receive. So keep on ministering to the sick. I want to read 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13. But I want to read the Passion Translation. And it gives us a warning. So beware if you think it could never happen to you, lest your pride become your downfall. Never think because something happened to somebody, it could never happen to you. We all experience times of testing, which is normal to every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victorious.
Amen.
God has given us a way to escape every trial, every temptation, every test. Sometimes we just think about escaping temptation. We don't think of as trials. We don't think about escaping and coming out victorious when our faith is tested. And our faith will be tested. Don't think your faith will never be tested because it will be. We all have had our faith tested. Our faith will be tested. But God has already made a way for you to come out victoriously.
Hallelujah.
He already has. I heard someone say, this is so true. When we think about obeying God, because God tells us something to do, something outrageous about living to the sick or something else, know this, that God has already given you the ability to obey.
Yes.
You don't have to try to get ability to obey.
Yes.
God has already given you the ability to obey him.
Yes.
Our job is just to obey.
Obey.
I had a pastor one time that said this, and it's kind of funny, and he was talking about his trust in God. He said, well, if the Holy Spirit told me to jump through the wall, he said, I'm going to jump at it. Believing that my wall is going to move, something's going to open up or something, because the Holy Spirit said do it. So know everything God asked us to do, he's given us the ability to obey.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's stand. I want you to think about your relationship with the Lord. Salvation is all about relationship.
Yes.
It's not about just believing something, confessing something. It's about relationship.
Yes.
All the believing and confession does is bring us into that relationship with the Lord. And if you're born again and know you're born again, if you don't know you're born again, you need to know, you need to be sure. You need to make your election sure. You need to make sure that I'm born again, I am a child of God, I have a relationship with Jesus. Because it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. And God wants us to cultivate that relationship. He wants us to get close to him, stay near to him, spend time with him,
yes.
Read the word of God,
yes.
Talk to God. You can talk to God just like I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can talk to God just like you talk to each other. So it's about relationship. It's about relationship. The more we get to know God, the more we'll be able to trust God. And the more we trust God, the more we'll be able to obey God. So it's about relationship. So I want to admonish you to work on your relationship with God.
Yes.
The rest of the day, all next week. And right now I want you to think about something in your life, something you can do to draw near to God and to have a better relationship with him. I'm not talking about a work. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about sitting down, talking with God.
Amen.
I'm talking about just having some quiet time with the Lord.
Yes.
That's what I mean when I talk about relationship.
Yes.
Not being so busy, you don't have time for God.
Yes.
Just like we shouldn't be so busy, don't have time for each other, for family, for husband and wife. Don't have,
yes.
A husband and wife should never be too busy, don't have time for one another. Parents should never be too busy, don't have time for children. And we should never be too busy that we don't have time for the Lord. So think about something you can do to cultivate your relationship with the Lord, because that way, the more you trust him, the more obedient you'll be to him. And then that way God can use us when he wants us to minister to somebody else.
Yes.
So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for those that have heard the word today. God, we just say thank you, Jesus. We just give you glory, God. We just give you praise. And we just magnify your name because, God, you're so good to us.
Yes.
You're so good to us. And so, God, I ask you to manifest yourself even more to us. We want to get to know you more. Our determined purpose is to know you, Jesus, and to know you more. Our determined purpose is to move in your presence, to live in your presence, to follow you and be in your presence. We want to do and work and move and do things in your presence, and because in your presence, we're going to be walking in the Spirit. So God, help us to do that. Help us, Lord. We need you. Holy Spirit, help us to know you more and to be friends with you. God, we thank you for these your people. We give you glory, God. We magnify your name. And God, we thank you that you work in our hearts.
Yes.
Help us to open our hearts up to you so that you can do in our hearts that you desire to do.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have a few minutes of sharing, and we have a few minutes we can share. Steal.